Reading this morning, page 1680, starting at John chapter 17 and verse 20. We're coming to the final part of Jesus' prayer and also the final part of this section of John that we've been reading. So beginning at verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, that is his first disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me, even as you have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. I want to end the reading of God's word there this morning. Disunity is normal in our world. It's what we see all around us. And families fall out over wills when someone thinks that they've been treated unfairly or not as favourably as somebody else, that someone else has received more. Marriages fall apart, sometimes through unfaithfulness, other times through years of selfishness and a lack of love for their marriage partner. Friendships fall apart due to a lack of trust that has been broken. The latest pop group comes and goes as one person in the group thinks that they could do far better on their own. Sports stars change their trainers, soccer teams sack coaches, the courts are filled with claims made against others by those who think they've been treated unfairly by somebody else. Disunity is the norm in the world in which we live. But as Jesus prays here, we see that it should not be normal in the church that Jesus builds. As this prayer comes to an end, Jesus prays for complete unity, verse 23, among his followers. In other words, that something of God's character might be seen in us and draw others to know and love him. So we're going to think this morning about the church that Jesus builds. First of all, we'll think about the foundation of this unity, what it's built upon. Then the formation of this unity, how it comes to be. And finally, the function of this unity, because every building serves a function or a purpose. And the same is true of the church that Jesus builds. So what is the foundation of this unity for which Jesus prays? After all, we all know how important a foundation is for a building. It carries the weight of the entire structure. And if the foundation isn't right, it'll not be long before cracks begin to show, or indeed the whole building is in danger of collapse. So what's the foundation of this unity for which Jesus prays? Well, first of all, the foundation of this unity is the apostolic message. In other words, the message of the apostles. As Jesus widens his prayer from his original disciples to all of those who will come to faith throughout all ages, he prays in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone, that is his first disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. The message of the apostles is the foundation of the church. It's obviously a message that's centered upon Jesus and the salvation that's possible through him. But it's a message that would be gathered into a body of writing and recorded in the pages of Scripture, what we have today as the Bible. Jesus has earlier promised his original disciples, remember, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would guide them into all truth. The Holy Spirit would recall to their minds the teaching of Jesus, which they could record for future generations of all who would follow him. The Holy Spirit would enable them to record the very words that God wanted them to record, so much so that the Apostle Paul would describe it as God breathed, as coming from the very mouth of God. In fact, Peter would refer to the writings of Paul as scriptures, putting it on the very same level as the words of God. Elsewhere we read that none of the scriptures came about just through the person's ideas themselves, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And one of the marks of the early church, we see in Acts 2 verse 42, is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They did so because they understood that this teaching didn't have its origins in men and individuals, the thinking of these people, but rather these words came from God. They devoted themselves to what would become the completed scriptures, the Bible. This is the foundation of the unity for which Jesus prays, a commitment to the message of the apostles as it's recorded in the pages of Scripture. And apart from a commitment to this apostolic teaching, the reality is that there's no foundation for this unity for which Jesus prays. Unless the Bible is accepted as the only source of authority in spiritual things, well, there's no foundation worth building upon. And when attempts are made to build on any other foundation, well, it's not long before the cracks begin to show and the whole structure is in danger of collapse. But secondly, the foundation of Christian unity is faith in Jesus alone through this message of the apostles. Look again at verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. As I said, the message of the apostles is all focused upon the person of Jesus. And when we look at the preaching of the apostles, we see that it was an exclusive claim, a claim that could be found in Jesus alone. So, for example, the apostle Peter, as he teaches, says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It was Jesus alone who left the realms of glory and entered into the world as a human being. It was Jesus alone who offered himself as a sacrifice for human sin. It was Jesus alone whom God raised from the dead and exalted to heaven. And it is Jesus alone to whom men and women and boys and girls can call out asking for forgiveness with the certainty that everyone who calls on him will be saved. This unity for which Jesus prays cannot be built on any other foundation than this, that salvation is found only through faith in Jesus. It was the message of the apostles, it has been the message of the true church of God for many centuries, and it remains the only message upon which God builds his church. We become members of God's church by faith in Jesus alone. And apart from a commitment to that truth, that we're saved by faith in Jesus alone, there is no foundation for Christian unity. And when attempts are made to build on any other foundation, it's not long before the cracks begin to show and the whole building is in danger of collapse. But thirdly, the foundation of Christian unity is the Spirit's presence. Among all of those who have come to believe in Jesus through the apostles' teaching. In the book of Acts, when some of the non-Jews started to become followers of Jesus, well, it created a huge problem for the Jews who were followers of Jesus because they had nothing to do with anyone who wasn't a Jew. In fact, it wasn't even their thinking that a non-Jew could become a follower of Jesus. But they couldn't deny the reality of the Holy Spirit's presence. these people that they considered far out had believed the apostles' message, had put their faith in Jesus to save them, and they had received God's Holy Spirit. And because God had accepted them, they had no right to reject them. That's so important to our understanding of what the church is. The church is not made up of my friends. It's not made up of people who are of the same age group as me. It's not made up of people who are from a similar background to me. It's not made up of people that I would necessarily choose to hang out with. Rather, it's made up of people who have believed in Jesus through the message of the apostles and have received the Holy Spirit, uniting us to God and therefore uniting us with one another. Now we see that in this passage by many references, however complicated they may have seemed when we were reading them, to our relationship with God. Let's look at some of them. Jesus refers in verse 21 to the Father being in him and he being in the Father. And then he prays, may they, that is the followers of Jesus, also be in us. Again in verse 23 he says, I in them and you in me. And at the very end of the prayer in verse 26 Jesus says, and I myself may be in them. Now this is all a reference to the Holy Spirit. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are brought into this mysterious relationship of the Trinity. We are united to the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. Here's the foundation of the unity for which Jesus prays. A unity not that we must work for, but a unity that already exists through the presence of God's Spirit in all who have believed in Jesus through the message of the apostles. It's for that reason that the Apostle Paul in another place encourages believers to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In other words, unity isn't something that we create, it is something that we keep or maintain. It is something that the Holy Spirit creates among God's people, but it is something that we can destroy. And so we, as God's people, are to make every effort to live at peace with one another, to do nothing which would destroy that unity, and to do those things which encourage the unity which God has created. Now that brings us to the formation of unity. The foundation of unity is something that already exists, but it takes form, something that can be seen. I remember when we were building our house many years ago, the first blocks went down on top of the foundation and you began to see the various rooms of the house. It began to take form, but it all seemed out of proportion. It all seemed so small. We didn't think we could possibly live in rooms that looked as small as that. But as the walls went up and as the roof went on and as things began to grow and take form, it began to look like a building that we could actually live in. And what Jesus is praying for here is the formation of unity. A unity that already exists, but a unity that needs to take form. It needs to be seen in flesh and blood, in real people, as he builds his church. And the formation of unity begins with grasping and understanding the love of God for us. At the end of verse 23, Jesus speaks about how the Father loved them, that is the followers of Jesus, even as you have loved me. Now, how incredible is it that we are loved by God with the very same love that the Father has for his Son Jesus? We're told here that that was a love that began before the creation of the world, and it is a love which continues throughout all of eternity. It is a love without beginning and without ending. And this is the love that God has for us. But not only for us, but for all who will believe in Jesus. Parents are very protective of their children. And if one of you has had a child that started school this week or moved schools this week, you're probably very concerned about them. How would they get on? Would they make friends? The most dreaded question of all, would they behave themselves? We want what is best for our children as God does for his children. And God loves us with the same love that he has for the Lord Jesus. Now we need to think seriously about what that means. When we consider how we speak to one another, how we speak about one another, how we treat one another. Because God loves his children with the same love that he has for his son, the Lord Jesus. And God the Father is very protective of his children. So I want you to do something this morning. I want you to look around you at the people sitting around you. Take a quick look. Have a quick glance at them. God loves your brothers and sisters with the same love that he has for his son, the Lord Jesus. And he is protective of his children. It matters to him how we treat his children. Remember, Jesus told how it would be at the end of time, when people would stand before the judgment seat of God, and he would recount how people had done all kinds of things for him. They had visited him in prison, they had given him water when he was thirsty, and people say, well, when did we do that? And Jesus said, when you've done this for the least of my brothers, you have done it unto me. The people sitting around you this morning, God loves them with the same love that he has for his son, the Lord Jesus. And he is protective of his children. Now, I'm not going to ask you to look around this time. You won't need to look around because the people will come to mind. Who are the people among God's people that you find it the hardest to love? Who are the people that in the depths of your heart you hold things against? You have grudges against? You have struggled to forgive them for things that they have done towards you? Or perhaps you find it hard to love them because you see something in them that you don't find attractive or isn't the way that it should be. Think of those people and realize God loves them with the same love he has for his son, the Lord Jesus. And you have no right to hold those things against them. They are loved by God every bit as much as you and every bit as much as his son, the Lord Jesus. Now, that is the beginning of the formation of this unity for which Jesus prays. When we grasp that every one of God's children is loved with the same love that God has for his son, the Lord Jesus. And this unity for which Jesus prays is formed not only by the love of God for us, but the love of God in us. And this is what makes the difference. Look at verse 26. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself will be in them. Did you notice that? It's not just that we're loved with the same love that the Father has for his Son, but that rather the love that the Father has for the Son is also in us. Jesus is present by his Holy Spirit so that the love of God for us is also in us. And that's what makes all of the difference. You see, we lack this capacity for love within ourselves. Naturally, we're filled with self-love. We're concerned only with what benefits us and the people that we love, not others. But having received God's Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus, we not only experience the love of God for us, but the love of God in us. When we care for others, express kindness to others, look out for others, we extend the love which we have received from God to others. The love of God begins to take form. It begins to take on flesh and blood, to become visible as we express it and show it to others. When we forgive others the wrongs that they've done toward us, when we show kindness to someone who hasn't shown much interest in us, when we speak in a gentle voice to someone that we would much prefer to shout at, we express the love of God in us. And we grow in our knowledge of God, and as we grow in our knowledge of God and his love for us, we also grow in our capacity to love and serve one another. Look again at verse 26. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself will be in them. As we know more of the Father, as we grasp more of his character, as we experience more of his love, our capacity to love others also grows. As we grasp how great the forgiveness of God towards us is, we learn how to extend forgiveness towards others. As we understand the kindness and mercy of God towards us, how much mercy we have received, we begin to learn how to extend mercy towards others. And as we do, this unity that already exists, starts to take form. It becomes visible. It takes on flesh and blood because we begin to see the love of God in action as it is expressed between God's people. Now, I said at the beginning that every building has a purpose, a function, and that purpose affects its design. If you're building a house to live in, it's different to a factory that's meant to be designed for building things. The function affects the design of the building. So why has God chosen to take an odd bunch of people of all kinds of ages and from all different kinds of backgrounds and bring them together into one church where they might live at peace with one another? You see, unity has a function. And it's not simply for our own comfort and ease. It's not simply for our own enjoyment of good relationships with one another. It's not simply that we can have a happy little church in which we can live and exist. Look at verse 21. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This unity for which Jesus prays is for the purpose of the world seeing something different in the church. A place where people from different backgrounds can live at peace with one another, so that they would might recognize that this is something that God has done through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Look again at verse 23. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Here's the purpose of this unity for which Jesus prays, that the world might know that the love of God for people can change them into people who express that love towards others. That God's love might be seen in us, and that those around us might recognize that this is something only God can do. We said at the beginning that disunity is the norm in this world. And if you sit on a parents' association or a committee of sports club or the board of a business, you'll discover pretty quickly that disunity is the norm. People pull against one another. There are power struggles. People want things to be done their way. Indeed, they insist on it being done their way or else. Disunity might be the norm in the world, but it should not be in the church. Instead, as those who are filled with the Spirit of God, through faith in Jesus, the Son of God, as we've heard about it in the Word of God, we not only experience the love of God for us, but the love of God in us. And what a difference that makes. A difference that should be obvious to everyone around us. A difference that might draw them to want to know and love the God who sent his Son to be our Saviour. Let's pray together. Father, we confess that too often we reflect the same attitudes as the world. That too often we too struggle for control and to have power and to have things done our own way. That we are less concerned about others and more concerned about what is best for us and those that we love. But Father, we long that we might display more of the character of the Lord Jesus. We pray that we become more and more like him. That we might not only grasp the love that you have for us, but that that love might be seen in us. And that we might be able to express it towards others. And so, Father, we pray that you help us to grow in our knowledge of you and experience more of your love and mercy and kindness towards us, so that we might be able to express more of that love towards others. Father, we pray that you would help us to grasp the love that you have for all of your children. And where we have really struggled to love others, we pray that you would give us that love, the love that you have for them, and put it in us by your Spirit, that we too might express that love for them. And Father, we ask this not just so that we can have good relationships with one another, so that we can have a nice, friendly church for ourselves, but rather that the world may know that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world, that the world might believe in him, and that many would be added to your church for that great day when your Son will come again and take us to this glory in which we will share with him forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name.